Welcome to Bible Truths. Today's lesson is titled, Has God Given Us a Pattern? We live in a world which requires us to follow certain patterns, rules, and standards, such as obeying speed limits and paying taxes. And some people think, as far as God, that he may not have any of these things, or you can just do whatever you want, or maybe you just have to love God, and that's it. But what does God say about this? Well, I'd like to introduce this lesson by reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. This lesson, Has God Given Us a Pattern?, follows a series of lessons designed to help you understand the Bible better. We've had various recent lessons, such as Sola Scriptura, which means the Bible alone is sufficient for what God expects. We also had a series on the Holy Spirit, which answered many misunderstandings about the Holy Spirit and its work, and who the Holy Spirit is. And last time I spoke to you about how are we led. And we concluded that lesson that we're led by our intellect as directed by what's written in the Scripture, specifically in the New Testament. We offer these lessons to encourage you to read and study your Bible. It's important. And we also encourage you to make a commitment to find out what God expects in the Scriptures. In addition, we would be happy to assist you in your efforts in studying the Bible to understand these things. Therefore, we offer free home Bible studies. All you have to do is contact us and we'll arrange whatever situation you might like to have as far as studying the Bible. Getting back to our lesson, has God given us a pattern? First thing we need to understand is what covenant or law are we under? There are two covenants in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we need to establish which one we're under. Well, in Hebrews chapters 8, verse 6 through 13, it answers that question, and we'll read parts of that. He is also a mediator of a better covenant, that is, the law of Christ or the New Testament, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant, which is referring to the law of Moses or the Old Testament, had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Dropping down to verse 13, in that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. So the law of Moses, the Old Testament, is obsolete as far as what law one thinks they may be under. And we're under the law of Christ or the New Testament, that all people are under that, regardless if you think you are or not. Now let's answer the question, has God given us a pattern to follow? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, which I read at the beginning of the lesson. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. In answering this question, has God given us a pattern? I want to look at three passages, including the one I just read. And I want to look at specific terms that are used and translated from the original Greek language. And the word I want to use here in what the passage I just read is the word pattern. And their lexicon of the Greek words says this specifically about this passage. It says, the pattern placed before one to be held fast and copied as a model. So here we have a lexicon that says that we're supposed to hold fast and it's supposed to be copied like a model is. The next passage I want to read is Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. What I want to focus on here is the word form, and it's connected with the word doctrine, in other words, teachings. And the context of this passage is a discussion on repentance. Now, Thayer's Lexicon Dictionary says this about the word form in regards to this specific passage. It's the teaching which embodies the sum and substance of religion and represents it to the mind. In other words, it's all-encompassing of the teachings of the New Testament. The last passage I want to look at in regarding the answer to this question is Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16. As many as walk, walking here is the way we live, according to this rule. Now the word I want to look at here is rule. And Thayer's Lexicon Dictionary says this about that passage. It's in regard to any rule or standard, a principle or law of investigating, judging, living, and acting. So we have a passage of Scripture that suggests something that is very encompassing or very complete. So we've used three different words that we focused on in the original Greek language: pattern, form, and rules. To summarize that one more time, it says to hold to the pattern means basically copied as a model. The word form has the meaning that all teachings of the New Testament need to be conformed to. And the last word, rule, is something that a person, people, all people of the world need to live by. In other words, we need to hold to patterns. So patterns, yes, do we need to hold to them? Yes, that's the short answer. And therefore, we need to look for patterns in the Bible so that we can know if we're right with God or not. A word of caution, though. It may not be apparent to you first off when reading the Scriptures that there's patterns here. Therefore, we need to dig into the Scriptures, studying and reading them, to see these patterns and understand these principles and ideas so we can understand what God expects. Now let's answer the question, is a pattern important, especially the pattern that we're talking about here? I'd like to answer this question by talking about a concept or idea that is spoken out throughout the Bible. It's the word typology. It's the idea of types and antitypes. Now, a type is something that represents something else. And an antitype is the result of the type, and it's usually something better. An example of a type and antitype would be a shadow and a person. Like a person casts a shadow, the type would be the shadow and the antitype would be the person casting it. They're not exactly the same, but obviously the person is much greater than the shadow, but they're different, but there's similarities to it. So that's what we want to talk about here in regards to, is a pattern important? And I want to introduce that in Hebrews chapter 8 verses 4 and 5, where it uses the term the copy and the shadow of heavenly things. But first I want to talk about the context of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians to correct them because some of them were going back to the law of Moses and obeying that law instead of obeying the law of Christ. And so the book of Hebrews is written to warn against that because the law of Christ is superior to the law of Moses. It's the type and the antitype idea. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12, sets the more immediate context where it's talking about Jesus is the high priest in the New Testament. Let's read that. For the priesthood being changed, of necessity, there's also a change of the law. In other words, Christ can't be high priest of the old law. Now, verse 1 of chapter 8. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest, that is Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which is the church that Jesus established, which the Lord erected and not man. Dropping down to verse 4. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed, when he was about to make the tabernacle, that is of the Old Testament, for he said, that is God, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. So basically what we have compared here, and that's what a typology is, this comparison between two things, the type and the antitype. And what we have here compared, first of all, is the high priest of the Old Testament versus the high priest of the New Testament, Jesus Christ. And of course, the high priest of the Old Testament is a man, and Jesus is God. And the other comparison that's being made as far as the type and the antitype is, the tabernacle of the Old Testament versus the tabernacle of the New Testament. So that the tabernacle of the Old Testament is the type. Under the New Testament, the tabernacle is the church that Jesus built, and it's superior to the Old Testament tabernacle. Now, one thing that we need to understand as far as is the pattern important here is the idea that it needs to match exactly as what the Scripture says. Now, how do we know that? Well, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14, it adds some clarity to what we're talking about here. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. The significance of this passage is Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. The priests in the Old Testament law had to come from the tribe of Levi, and the Scriptures spoke nothing of this. In other words, we need to respect the silence of the Scriptures. Another way of saying that is we can't add or subtract from the Scriptures. Otherwise, we're violating the pattern. So the pattern is important. Now, another reason why the pattern is important is suggested in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. The context here is not to neglect the preaching and teaching of the gospel. And notice what it says here. It says, hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. So it says that we need to hold fast to the pattern. In other words, this is important. This is a command. This is not optional. Another reason we need the importance of the pattern is suggested in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And whatever you do in word, and as far as teaching, or indeed as far as things that we do, it says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This means by the authority of Jesus Christ. We need to have authority for what we do. So it's very important that we follow the pattern based on these three reasons. Another question, does the pattern change? We can answer that by reading a couple different passages. In Jude 3, it says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which the faith here is a body of information contained in the New Testament, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Here we have a passage of Scripture that says the information, the faith of Christians has been already delivered. And it doesn't have to be delivered again. That's the idea. Another passage that adds clarity to this is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. It says the word of the Lord endures forever. And it connects it with this being, this word has to do with the gospel. The gospel is another word that describes the faith of a Christian. It's the all-encompassing of the New Testament. And it says endures forever, meaning that if we added or subtracted to it, it wouldn't endure forever because it would be different. And so it wouldn't fit the pattern. Another question we need to ask as far as the pattern, is anything missing? And there's a couple of passages of Scripture that answers this sufficiently. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, where it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It talks about all Scripture is all a person needs to be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work according to what God wants. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 adds this, as His divine power, that is God, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, that is Jesus, who called us by glory and virtue. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, all things are revealed in the things that have to do with Jesus, as in revealed in the Bible, New Testament more specifically. This pretty much answers this question without a doubt that the scripture is all we need to know what to do to please God. Now, you might be asking at this point is, why haven't I heard this before? Well, a number of people just haven't taught on it, and they're not realizing it's important. Or they never thought about it before, about the principles and patterns in the scriptures. Another possible reason is some people don't like to be constrained by what the scriptures say that we have to do. And so, either way, we need to consider this topic because it's important. So let's do that. Let's test this idea a little further as far as what God expects. In John chapter 12, verse 48, it suggests something very important. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Here we have a passage of scripture that says that we need to receive, all of us need to receive, the words of God. Why? Because it says we're going to be judged by it. Judged in the last day, in regards to the day of judgment. And he connects it in verse 50 with everlasting life. And I'm sure all people want eternal life and be with God. So we need to pay attention to these things. And John chapter 14, verse 15 adds this, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now there are some people that say, well, I don't need to keep his commandments because I love God and I know him. But this passage has said that if we love him, we need to keep his commandments. What about knowing him? Well, we just have to know him and that's it? Well, let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6 in regards to this. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Here we have a passage of scripture that's very clear that says we don't know God unless we keep his commandments. Now, that's not talking about the Ten Commandments. That's talking about all the things that are spoken about in the New Testament. And he says, whoever keeps his word truly loves God. And it says, by this we know that we are in him and that we better walk like Jesus did. In other words, our manner of life needs to be. And these are not just requests or ideas. This is spoken about as something that's mandatory. Well, now that we've tested this a little further, let's look at some examples of what the scriptures say as far as patterns. The first one I want to look at has to do with worship. In John chapter 4, verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in the spirit and truth. Here we have a passage of scripture that talks about worshiping in spirit and truth, and it has to do with what's revealed in the New Testament. And if it's not revealed in the New Testament, we can't trust it. Now, why is that? Well, because Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We can't have faith unless we hear about it in God's written word, the Bible. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9 adds this, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, this is Jesus speaking, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In other words, they're going through the motions. And in vain they worship me. And why is that? Teaching as the doctrines, the commandments of men, as opposed to what God teaches. There again, the importance of reading in God's word. We need to worship God according to the pattern as laid out in the New Testament. The second example I want to look at has to do with morality. And I'd like to look at that starting in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Again, the gospel of Christ is the body of information contained in the New Testament, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We need to have a certain mindset, a good and honest heart, looking for what the truth is and being careful in understanding that. And it also includes things like being patient and kind. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, suggests something else in regards to morality. And this is the Apostle Paul, how he's talking about something about him here. However, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me, first Jesus Christ, might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Here we have a passage of scripture where the Apostle Paul is saying how much mercy he got from God. Now, Paul, why does he say that? Well, the Apostle Paul is one who persecuted Christians. He chased them to put them in prison or to try to put them to death. And he thought he was doing this right. But he found out he was wrong. And so he explains here in this passage that God showed mercy to him with all long suffering. And it's supposed to be as a pattern. So how do we apply that to ourselves? We need to have mercy and be long-suffering for those that may oppose us. Something that's hard to do. In Titus chapter 2, verse 7, also suggests this. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In other words, we need to train ourselves to behave like Jesus wants us to. In doctrine, showing integrity. In other words, being honest and this being connected with teaching here. Reverence, in other words, for God and his ways, incorruptibility, in other words, we can't be led astray to do wrong. Then the last example I want to look at is salvation. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, this is something that's very important here, where Jesus is speaking to his apostles right after he died for his sins and rose from the dead. And he says this, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." It says that we need to believe and be baptized. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 adds some more. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Here we have a passage of scripture where Peter is preaching to a bunch of Jews on the day of Pentecost. And he's preaching how they put him to death. They crucified him. And right before he says this, they realize that they had been guilty of crucifying Jesus. And so they ask the question, what should we do about this? And this is where Peter says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." So he says here, not only do we have to believe, we have to repent and be baptized. So far we've looked at the importance of belief and the importance of being baptized, but also repentance here is spoken of. Repentance is the idea of a change of mind which leads to a change of action. Now repentance is really important. Here we have an example of repentance because they put Jesus to death. So they need to realize that he is Lord and their Savior. And they need to repent of their sins and start doing what's right. And so that's what Peter's telling them. And then there's one other passage that speaks about salvation that's important that fits the pattern of the scripture. And that's in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. We need to be aware of all the what the scripture says as far as salvation, not one passage. "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto, or in the direction of salvation." We need to do everything God says in order to be saved. And Matthew chapter 28, verse 20 suggests that, "teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you." And so what we might conclude is, if we don't believe and do what this suggests, this pattern, then we would have to conclude that Christ is not really our Lord and Savior, because we haven't believed and done what he said to do. So let's conclude this lesson. In 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. We need to hold fast the pattern of sound words. So I'd like to ask one final question. Are you reading the Bible with understanding and recognizing God has given us a pattern that He expects to hold to? If not, we would be happy to assist you in your efforts in that direction. If there's anything we can do to help you with this, we'd be happy to give you a home Bible study. It's free. Or if you'd just like to discuss scriptures with us, we'd be happy to do that also. But finally, I'd like to thank you for your kind attention in this lesson, and we encourage you to tune in again sometime.